Today on the Rising Coaches Podcast.
And then I've had guys that have come in and be coached, and now you're just kind of coaching details, you know. So, but that's what it's about, you know, just trying to get them prepared and get them ready and helping them. And for us, like when you get a call back from a guy who's at a high major and he says, hey, coach, we went over how to ice a screen today, and I already knew what I was doing. When you get those kind of phone calls, you're like, okay, you know, I did my job.
Hello and welcome to the Rising Coaches Podcast. I'm your host, Brian Bender, and today's episode is brought to you in part by one of our favorite sponsors, Connor Sports. Connor Sports, a world leader in sports surfaces, the official floor, the Final Four, and the Olympics. They do everything from high school floors and rec centers all the way up to NBA floors. Visit ConnorSports.com to learn more and get your new floor today. Also, if you're not already a member and are interested in joining in the largest coaching tree in basketball, visit RisingCoaches.com to sign up today. You'll build genuine relationships with other coaches, have access to amazing content that will help you develop your craft, expand your network, and see job opportunities on our member site that are not available anywhere else. For more information, visit risingcoaches.com. All right, our special guest today, Brandon Espinoza. He's here from the head coach at Paul Quinn College. We did our best right there, coach. Welcome to the podcast.
Coach, what's going on, man? How you doing?
I'm doing great. You've had tremendous success this year. You guys are undefeated in NAIA play. You've, you know, played a few Division Ones and, you know, done a phenomenal job. You're in your, you know, second and a half year there, and known you for about five, six years since your pro skills days back in the days. Came and watched your practice. You did a phenomenal job and, you know, kind of built our relationship over time. But I really appreciate your time being on here and catch, you know, some of our members and some of our listeners up to speed. You know, give us a little bit of your path, your journey from, you know, your playing experiences all the way to being the head coach at Paul Quinn College.
Yes, sir. You know, obviously, thank you for having me and for just shedding a light on our college. We're a small, historically black college in Southern Dallas. So I wanted to say thank you before we got started. But for me, my journey started out in Houston. I was just a kid from Houston, didn't know anything about college or pro sports as far as like playing it. You know, ended up going to a small private college in Dallas, Texas, called Dallas Christian College. For me, you know, I just wanted to have the opportunity to play college basketball. That was my dream. I didn't know anything else. I didn't want anything else, being a pro or anything like that, the way a lot of these kids are today. That was never something that entered my mind. You know, I did one of these podcasts about a month ago. And they asked me, you know, when did you decide you wanted to be a coach? And, you know, growing up, I never thought about it, right? And this is what I said on the podcast. My mom listens to the podcast, and she's like, that's not true. She's like, you were coaching your little brother's team at the YMCA. She's like, you were either going to be a coach or a firefighter. And I'm like, what? I'm like, what are you talking about? So, you know, for me, like, in my own mind, I never really wanted to be a coach. It was more about, you know, trying to figure it out as a player. But as I got older and being a leader on the team, I could tell that my coaches were kind of leaning on me to kind of be that bridge between the coaching staff and the players. You know, I was a work hard guy in college. Playing small college basketball was great for me because it gave me an opportunity to see what those other levels were like. You know, we played Division One, we played NAIAs. And then my senior year, we're fortunate enough to make it to a national tournament, and we won a national championship. And I think that kind of gave me the validation as a player that I had been searching for when it came to all the hard work and dedication and sacrifice that I had put in over the course of my life. You know, I needed another year to graduate, and so my college coach said, hey, stick around, be a grad assistant, and finish up. And that's just how it started. And so you go from that. I was a high school head coach for a year. I did 2 years in the G League. I did junior college at Bossier Parish and at Ranger with Billy Clyde. And then I started doing AAU. And then it all just kind of snowballed into where we're at now. And now I'm the head coach at Paul Quinn College. And I'm the director of EYBL and 17U head coach at Drive Nation. So it's just kind of been a whirlwind. But the entire time, you know, it was all about just putting your head down, grinding, working, and just hoping that, you know, when the opportunity did come that I would be prepared, that we would be prepared. So it's it's been a great experience.
Yeah, you've prepared yourself very well. You know, you've been very fortunate to work for some, been in some unique situations, especially from a high level standpoint of basketball, either at that, you know, community college level, or, you know, talking about Billy Clyde and working under him, and then, you know, NBA experience. Like, people don't understand how advanced the NBA is, even if it's in the G League or D League at the time. Like, whatever it is, it's extremely advanced, and you've been around some high level thinkers. You gotta relay this message to your mother, like, hey, you know, coaching and firefighting sometimes is the same exact thing. Like, literally, all we do some days is put out fires.
Fires, absolutely. You know, I mean, obviously, you coach junior college, so you know, small college basketball, some of the things that we have to do. I mean, we're the sports information director, we're the strength and conditioning coach, we're psychologists. I mean, we're everything all in one. And so I think just the opportunity to be able to coach, you know, like when I was at the junior college level, I thought it was so cool that we could do everything. There weren't the rules that you had at the Division I level. I mean, I can coach, I can get on the court, I can do scouts, I can do workouts. I was the weight room guy. I mean, we could do everything. And I think that experience really prepared me to be a head coach, right? I take my junior college experience very personal because I work for two totally different guys. I work for Billy Gillespie, who's one of the greatest coaches of all time, in my opinion, especially one of the greatest Texas guys. And I also work for Chris Lovell, who's a former youth pastor, right? You talk about two ends of the spectrum, right? But two guys who have figured out a way to get it done in this business. And so the time that I had with them was so different and so unique, but both of those situations totally prepared me to be a head coach. And then you talk about the G League stuff when it's so advanced with the analytics, with the player personnel, with the player development, just the way that it's so different and how everything is so specific to our actions. I mean, it's just a fantastic experience that I have. And I think, you know, you take the good things, obviously, from some of the coaches. You take the things that you don't really like. You take the things that are kind of in the middle that you feel like you can tweak and make your own. And it kind of starts to develop, you know, you have your own philosophies now. And for a young coach, I think that was one of the hardest things for me is trying to figure out, you know, how are we going to score? How are we going to guard? You know, what type of guys am I going to recruit? And, you know, learning from Coach Gillespie, I think, in the recruiting aspect was one of the biggest things in my career. You know, obviously, he had some amazing success at Texas A&M, and he left Texas A&M to go to Kentucky. And one of the things that he told me that's always stuck with me is he said that he thought he had to recruit a different type of player when he got to Kentucky, right? If you look at the time that coach was at Kentucky, he recruited the same amount of NBA players as anybody else in the country, right? And that's what you think of when you think of Kentucky. But when you're in this business and you know this coach, you got to find your type of guys. And I think that's what I took from coach. Find your type of guys no matter what level you're at, and you're going to be okay because you know how to coach those guys and you know what they're going to give you. And I think that's what we've done here at Paul Quinn that's given us this success so far this season is I found guys that trust and believe in what we're doing, and they're tough and they're humble and they're respectful, and you can coach them and they want to win, and that's all they care about. And I think in today's world, that's really, really, really hard to find from young people.
Yeah, the high major kids are easy to spot and hard to get, but they also may have other things that go along with who they are and why they are the way that they are. And learning about as a young coach, especially, is, hey, who can my head coach coach and who can I coach? You know, we think going in when we first become head coaches that we can coach anybody, because as an assistant, you think that way, like, oh yeah, I'm good with this guy. But when it comes down to it, you want to have, you know, you could maybe get away with one or two high or medium maintenance kids, but for the most part, you need a lot of low maintenance kids that do everything that you ask. And, you know, just are on board with your culture and what you're trying to accomplish. And, you know, I think that's a plug too for, you know, small college and different things. Even if you're head coaching experience is invaluable, whether you're at the high school level, whether you're at junior college, whether you're at NAI, whether you're at Division I, because you learn at an expedited rate of, you know, hey, what is it that I'm looking for? How can I solve these problems? You know, you're talking about some of the basketball aspects and, you know, how are we going to score? What are we going to do? That's the fun part, you know, but there's a lot of things that go into the growth of what, you know, you've been able to accomplish both on and off the floor. And especially, you know, from a recruiting standpoint of you've coached some high level kids and been around some high level thinkers. And now, you know, your behaviors have kind of caught up and now you're seeing the success part of it. And I hope that continues for you and wishing you nothing but the best as you guys finish your season up. You mentioned jobs, many jobs that you've had. And, you know, you joked about, you know, being kind of a social media guy or SID type within your institution. If you Google Paul Quinn College and athletics, it's one of the coolest pages that you'll see. Your floor is unlike any floor that I've ever seen. I actually showed before, I wasn't even thinking about it, but, you know, I showed one of my assistants the floor. And I was like, what do you think of this? Like, it's so unique and so different. How have you found a way to be different? Not just from social media, you know, talk a little bit about some of the graphics and things that you guys do. But how have you found a way to be unique in your own way, especially, you know, playing those D1s, but at the level that you're at, how have you become more relevant from a national perspective?
Well, I think, you know, obviously I've got a great example because my president has made our small college one of the most high profile historically black colleges in the country, right? And so, you know, one of the things that I always try to do is I try to watch how people, you know, turn things into their own. And I try to do that myself. And so for me, coming in, obviously, you know, you have to recruit the players to be good enough to win, right? But you also have to be able to make those players feel like this is the big time as well. And one of the most important ways that we can do that is through social media, right? You know, I have a previous relationship with Ryan Parker, who runs Free Key 3 Creative, right? He also designed our new basketball court, but he does all these media events, right, for grassroots. And so you see TCU or you see SMU and you see how they market their team. There's billboards all over the place in the city. It says pony up or it says, you know, frogs this or whatever, right? But that's not reaching young people. That's outdated to me anyway. You reach young people through social media, right? And so for our players, we want to have the same thing on our website that everybody else in the country has. We want to release things on social media that can pick up traction with our community, right? With our city. You know, Dallas is the new mecca of basketball. We have the best basketball, high school, college, pro basketball players in the world. They're right here. And so why not, you know, play small college basketball here as well? It's not a hard place to sell to a recruit when you talk about how we market our players and how we market our program. And so coaches talk about it all the time, right? Like you want to treat the job that you're at like it's the big time. Well, what about the players? The coaches are doing that for themselves. You know, why can't we do that for our players? So you look at our website. We've got one of our super seniors on there. He's in a pose and it's our schedule. We release, I've never seen anybody else do it. We release our NCAA Division I schedule only. That comes out first. So you know that at Paul Quinn College, we're playing 4 to 6 NCAA Division I's every year. We're playing on ESPN or SEC Network 4 to 6 times a year. That's every single year. The marketing value in that alone for our college is in the millions. That dollar amount is in the millions, right? And then these guys all do their research. So if you watch one of our game casts from the SEC Network, they're literally selling our college to whoever is watching the game. And that's a fantastic part about the opportunity that we get when we play on a platform like ESPN or SEC Network. People get to learn about our college. People get to learn about our kids. And people get to hear our story and their story. And it's important. One of the first things that I do when I sit down with these people that interview me is tell them about our individual players, where they came from, what they've been through, what they're doing here now with us. Because at the end of the day, I don't have a job without these kids. And so I'm tired of seeing these narratives where the coaches are consistently pushing themselves and talking about themselves and not giving back to the players that are literally getting them to the next job. Like, it doesn't make sense to me. And then when you talk about the NCAA not letting guys transfer and play right away until this past season, to me, that's wild. That's nuts. And so I'm glad that we can have the NILs now. I'm glad that our players can use their name, image, and likeness to make money. I mean, you watch the Fab Five documentary and you see Chris Jalen Rose talk about how he just played a game in front of 25,000 people and he didn't know how he was going to eat that night. I mean, that's crazy to me. And so for us, you know, we want to make this the big time for our players. We want them to know and understand that we're going to push anything and everything out on them as we can. And so that way they know that this isn't a one-way street here, right? It works both ways. And I think when you do that for your players, they appreciate it. And they know that we're doing this to kind of help them through their process, right? And, you know, for us, that's what it's all about at Paulquin College. And for me, you know, trying to be a player's coach, there's a balance there. And I think this is one of the things that I meet the players with halfway. And I say, hey, we're going to put all this social media stuff out on you guys because you deserve it. And I know that's what they want.
Yeah, that's awesome to hear you, you know, talk about it and having players' backs and, you know, being in this business for the right reasons and understanding and having that perspective of, you know, hey, they're people first. They may be good at basketball or whatnot, but like you got their backs and you're trying to help them utilize their platform in a way that positively benefits their future and their future long term, and utilizing your platform to do so is extremely important. Now you've been you know, at multiple different levels, you know, the, you know, NBA level, you've been at the NAI level, the JUCO level, but you're at a scene, you know, in the AAU scene circle, you know, as, you know, the top or one of the top EYBL teams every year in a place that you were talking about, you know, in a Mecca in Texas and different things that you guys, you've done some really cool things. Talk a little bit about how the experiences of having your players at the AAU level get recruited and what you've taken from that to help you at your school and what you'll continue to do as you kind of grow in this profession.
Yeah, I think, you know, starting out with the AAU side, you kind of don't really know what you're getting into if you haven't been in it before, right? It is a really flawed space because you have adults making decisions for kids a lot of times or sometimes for the wrong reasons, right? And I think, you know, our job, right, and what we've done at Drive Nation is we give parents and kids as much information as possible so that they can make the best decision for themselves. And so that's recruiting, that's NIL, that's information that we know about the current head coaches and assistants. That's, you know, trying to get them to communicate with current or former players so that they can get a realistic view on what the situation is like when they get there, because everybody's going to recruit the same way. They're going to tell you what they want to hear. You're going to be this, you're going to be that, or whatever. And so for us, that's really what it's about. It's about giving them meaningful information. It's about preparing them for the next level. It's about coaching them. You know, when you have big time players, you know, everybody thinks that they come in and they're just ready to go, but you're coaching little details, you're coaching big details. I mean, a lot of these guys have holes in their games because they're being compared to other 16-year-olds. They're not being compared to the 21, 22, 23-year-olds that they're getting ready to be thrown into the fire with. And so, you know, one of the things that I learned, you know, my boss at Drive Nation is Jermaine O'Neal. And, you know, you talk about an impressive human being, went straight from high school to the pros, was a McDonald's All-American, you know, is a fantastic entrepreneur. He's a businessman in the community. He does this for all the right reasons. And it's wild to be able to sit down and have a conversation with him. I can just call him and he'll answer. You know, and he's like my mentor on the business side of basketball, right? But what he's imparted on me is look, it's everything is straightforward in this space because there's so many other people in this business that aren't like that, right? So we're honest. Hey, this is what we want. This is what we see. This is what we think you need to work on. If you want to do it, cool. If you don't, we're moving on, right? Like, it's no bullshit at all. It's straight to the point. And some people appreciate that. And then other people, they've never been told the truth before. So if the first time they hear it is from you, they're probably not going to like it. And that's okay, because we're not for everybody and everybody's not for us. But I think if we continue to give people the correct information, the correct data. Hey, look, this is what you're ranked. This is where you're projected. This is what we've done in the past. This is what we think you need to work on, right? And then the proof is in what we've done in the past 4 or 5 years with the players that we've had. You know, it gives them a more realistic view on what to expect coming in. And then it helps that we have guys that are real coaches. You know, we don't have guys that are part-time this, part-time that. We're coaches. I mean, I'm a college head coach. And so my expectation for these 16, 17, 18-year-old kids is that I'm getting you ready for a Power 5 college career. You know, Jermaine is more about NBA because we do have guys that are projecting as 1-1. That's not my role. My role is to get you ready for college. My role is to get you and try to make you a professional, right? So that you come in with the right mindset when you step onto that college court, right? And so I think you put all that together and it really just makes an atmosphere of competition, of growth, and productivity. And if you look at Drive Nation over the past 4 or 5 years, I mean, the last time the ESPN rankings came out, we had the most kids in 15, 16, 17s, right? We had the most kids ranked in the country of any program, right? And that's a big deal. And that's not us, that's the kids. You know, our job is just to communicate, connect the dots, and help them pursue their dreams. And I think if more people did that and took, you know, their egos and their personal feelings and their agendas out of it, I think the kids would be better and the space would be better. You know, so that's kind of how we do it. And that's kind of our mindset behind it.
Yeah, that what you said some really important things. And I think one thing just to note that you do, especially at the youth or the AAU level, is you're actually teaching them in a college type system or a pro type system how to play 5-on-5. It's one thing to train. It's one thing to, you know, play 2-on-2. It's one thing to do different things. But, you know, you're teaching concepts that are going to translate to college and eventually to the pros, where so much of it is concept based. You know, they're not, you know, they're dealing with personnel and, you know, tendencies and things like that. But at the end of the day, you got to know how to guard things in multiple different ways, what it looks like. And, you know, even watching one practice, and that was 5 years ago, you being able to do that, like, I'm sure you've gotten better. And you've learned more and getting more head coaching experience, like all that stuff is adding up into, you know, building the program, and it helps them be more successful in a team setting, in a 5-on-5 setting. You throw a shot clock in there, like it's not just players, it's, you know, the concepts and such as well going into it.
No, yes, sir, no doubt. I mean, you know, I've had guys at the 17U level that didn't know anything about tagging a roller and didn't know any other coverage other than a switch. And then I've had guys that have come in and be coached, and now you're just kind of coaching details, you know. So, but that's what it's about, you know, just trying to get them prepared and get them ready and helping them. And for us, like when you get a call back from a guy who's at a high major and he says, hey, coach, we went over how to ice the screen today, and I already knew what I was doing. When you get those kind of phone calls, you're like, okay, you know, I did my job. You know, you don't want them to go through it for the first time, you know, with Coach K, and they're like, oh Lord, like, what am I doing? You know, so I think that's a cool experience. And you know, we try to build relationships, and, you know, at Drive Nation, it's not just about playing 117U summer with us or whatever, you know, it's about a lifelong relationship. And it's not just about basketball. A lot of the times when we sit down and have dinner with Jermaine, we don't even talk about our team or our plays or anything like that. We talk about, you know, life. And so I think that's the other part that kind of gets lost in translation. You know, you want to get to know people and they want to get to know you. And it doesn't always have to be about, you know, playing and what you could do better. Sometimes it's just about, you know, hey, how's school, you know, or, you know, how's your mom, how's your dad? You know, stuff like that goes a long way with this generation. And I think that's one of the things that we're trying to do as well. So
that's awesome. Yeah, that you talked about the experience of hearing it from either the coach or from the player, like, hey, coach, we did this today and I already knew how to do it. Like that, like, makes you, like, wins and losses aside, but when you know that you're preparing them for the next place, you know, no matter what level it is, and they know how to guard a ball screen 4 different ways and they're talking about it and they're helping other guys and the coach is calling you and telling you those things, like, that makes you feel like what you're doing, you know, is right for them. You know, it may not always be wins and losses, but you're helping them learn the game of basketball, learn the game of life, leading, all those types of things. having you being at, you know, different places and different things, I'm gonna throw two words at you, like ego and entitlement. It's 2022 now. Talk about the word entitlement, what you've seen, and how, you know, you as a leader and a relationship coach have dealt with that. And, you know, ego and things aside, especially with the higher profile players that you have at your AAU level, how have you handled those situations, and how do you help them understand, like, you know, you use the word humility earlier, like how do you practice that with those players, with those kids, to help them understand those things?
You know, it's a little bit different between the levels as far as like Drive Nation and Paul Quinn, but I think you have some of the same, you know, basically the recipe is the same. You know, I think for me, what works for me is I'm transparent. You know, I'm honest with my players. I tell them about everything that's going on so that they're informed, whether it's with administration, whether it's with travel, whether it's like they're informed, they're in the loop, they know exactly what's going on, right? You know, at Paul Quinn, it's almost like it's a second chance place. And so you have guys that have kind of been through the system before, and they know that they just want to play college basketball, right? And even though that is there, there's still ego, there's still entitlement, because we're men, right? And that's one thing that I talk to them about all the time is, look, we're men, we have an ego. A lot of times our kids that we coach at Paul Quinn, and I call them kids, but they're young men, when they go home, there is no accountability, right? They're the man of the house. And so you're having to bridge that gap with somebody who, when they go home, they do whatever they want, right? They work, they you know, they take online classes over COVID. They're doing whatever they want to help support their family or whatever they have to, right? And so I think the best thing that I can do for my Paul Quinn guys is to be an example of what it's like to be a good man, right? I'm a man of faith, so I share my faith with them, but I don't force it down their throat, right? If they have questions, we've hired a team chaplain who's one of my former college basketball teammates, right? And so that's what his lane is. I stay in my lane. I'm transparent. I'm honest. I'm open. But if they want to talk about their faith, they can go straight to our team chaplain, right? My brother is my assistant. And so when you talk about a family, we're a family at Paul Quinn College. My brother's going to be my assistant this year at Drive Nation on our 17s. He's moved up from 8th to 9th to 10th, and he's followed this group that's on paper one of the best teams in the country. So they get to see an example, right? I mean, you have a wife, you have kids. My wife comes to games. My daughter, I have a 7-month-old. She comes to practices or games, and they get to see me be a dad, right? And so it's not about just talking the talk. It's about showing them every day that, hey, look, this is who I am. And I tell them all the time, look, man, I make mistakes. I'm not perfect. I make mistakes with you guys. I make mistakes at home. I make mistakes in my relationships. But I'm always going to be honest. And I think when your players see that, I think it really affects them in a way that allows them to open themselves up to be in the same way with you, with their teammates, and most importantly with themselves, right? And so that's kind of what's really worked for me at Paul Quinn, because I'm with those guys every day. You know, I think at Drive Nation, it's more about managing egos, right? Because these guys have never made a mistake before, right? And what I mean by that is they haven't been to 1D1 and then transferred and then had to go JUCO and then come back. Like they've never been through that. And so telling them that there's pitfalls waiting for them if they don't make, you know, clean this up or do a better job of this or body language or whatever, it's almost like they don't understand. And then they're playing high school basketball and they're able to do those things and they totally dominate their competition, right? And you're trying to prepare them for EYBL because, in my opinion, playing a season of EYBL is like playing a season of college basketball. I mean, it is brutal. You are playing the best players in the country, future NBA players, every single game. And you don't have all the time that you need to prepare. And that's one of the hardest parts for me as a head coach is I don't have time to give them a 10-page scouting report. I mean, we've got to cut it down to one page. And they've got to try to retain any information that they can when it comes to actions and when it comes to how we're going to guard our coverages. And then you're having to manage egos because you've got, I mean, we've got three or four, five stars. I mean, we got two or three, four stars. We got one or two, three stars, right? And so you're having to manage those egos. And so it's just a little bit different. And I think that's why it's so important to have someone like Jermaine O'Neal, who has instant credibility because he went from high school to the pros, there to be able to have those conversations when we need them, right? And so I think it's a great balance. But I think the most important part for me, what's worked for me, has just been being transparent, being honest, working as hard as I possibly can. And then, you know, obviously just being there for those guys, whether it's Paul Quinn or Drive Nation, and just being genuine and being honest. And I think parents and I think players really appreciate when they know that Coach B ain't going to ask you for nothing. I don't want anything from you. All I want is to help you get to your next place. And I think they understand that that's what I feel like my role is in their life. And if they ever need anything, I tell all my players the same thing. I don't care if I'm with AT&T, T-Mobile, it don't matter. My cell phone number is never going to change. And I'll always be here for you the rest of my life. And I think the more that we humanize ourselves and we humanize our players and we get away from the drill sergeant, do as I say, not as I do mentality as coaches, I think the more that we connect with this generation, and I think the more you get out of it. Because I know for a fact that I love my players, right? And I know for a fact that they love me, and I think they feel the same way. There's no question about it. And so I think that goes a long way with what we're trying to do at both places.
Yeah, it's just special to hear, and it's good to hear. And we should rewind it back and listen to it again, take some more notes on that, whoever's listening. But, you know, you hit some really cool things within your statements there. And, you know, to kind of build upon it, your trust and transparency starts with your relationship with them, because they know that you care about their future, and their future is nothing to gamble with. And, you know, I tell my kids at my level, JUCO's not the point. You're telling your kids, AU is not the point. It's not about, you know, this and that. It's about building the foundation and the habits and this and the process of getting you to where you want to be. And I think that's just it's refreshing to hear. You know, I think, you know, hats off to you. And I think that's just it's good to hear it again. You know, we get caught up in a lot of different things and our business is sometimes rotten, and to know that people are doing things the right way, whether they're recognized or being told they are or not, like, it's refreshing to hear. And, you know, good job. You know, give you a pat on the back there every once in a while and things like that.
I appreciate it, Coach.
Yeah. So moving forward, like, that leadership part is so important too. Like, the servant leadership, modeling the way, like you talked about, you know, being a family man, all that stuff, you know, showing them what it looks like is as important, if not more important, than anything else that we do. Show them how to handle adversity. Show them, you know, share with them what's going on in your life so they understand what you're going through, so they can kind of relate to what you're going through. And I was asking them, you know, what's going on with you? How are you feeling? You know, is everything okay? You know, how can I help you? You know, those types of things are really important. You know, what am I not paying attention to that I should be? Type questions. Like, those things are really important. You very, very well polished answers and different things. And I think that comes with time. What lessons do you feel like you have learned that have taken you the longest? So, like, what lessons have taken you the longest to learn that maybe you didn't believe or you didn't really fully invest in, or that you didn't fully, like, on board with, that you now believe in more than ever? Is there anything that comes to mind with that?
Yeah. You know, I think one of the things that I've really learned, and I've really tried to put it to practice this season, even in my personal life, is you've got to allow people to make their mistakes, right? You've got to allow your players to make their mistakes. And as a coach, it can't make me make a mistake, because I don't want them to make a mistake, if that makes sense. And so, you know, we have a huge mental health initiative going on in the world, going on our campus. You know, one of the things that we do is we make our players go see the counselors 3 times a semester, right? And like I said with you, I'm very open and honest with my players about everything that I've been through. If they have a question, I answer them honestly. And I try to relay to these guys that it's okay to not be okay. And I think a lot of times, you know, what we do is we have this expectation for our players that it doesn't allow them to make those mistakes and really be vulnerable, whether it's in practice or in a meeting or whatever. And sometimes we have to take a step back and try to figure out why these guys are making those mistakes. And so I think that's one of the things that I've really tried to put to practice. You know, when a guy is making mistakes that are uncharacteristic, not to immediately just jump on him in the practice, get on his ass, talk to him about it, have an assistant clean it up, and then immediately pull him after practice is over. And now it's not coach and player. Now it's man to man. Like, hey, bro, are you okay? Like, what's going on? And I think that's been really hard, because it's like you don't want him to make those mistakes. I don't want him to be in crisis mode. I don't want him to be so down on himself when I know it has nothing to do with basketball, if that makes sense. And like I was talking about earlier, a lot of these guys, they go home and they're the man of the house wherever they're at. You know, they're the one that people call when somebody needs something in their family. And that's an unbelievable pressure to bear when you're not necessarily ready yourself, right? We know that as men, but to have to teach it to a young man who's still in college trying to figure it out is even harder. And so, you know, it's one thing to talk about mental health and say, yeah, we're all for it and blah, blah, blah. But it's another thing to practice it with your players when they are going through something. And I think that's one thing that I'm doing that's really helped us, right? And I'm not saying all my players have mental health issues, but what I am saying is we've got to be more sensitive to them and not just be transactional as coaches, right? And I think the better that we do with that, the more that our players will be coachable to us and they'll be willing to share those. And hey, I get it. Not every player wants to tell his head coach, right? And that's why I have assistants who we talk about this every day. Hey, check on him. Hey, talk to him. Hey, do this. But I think that's one of the lessons that I really, now that I look back, I mean, I was with Nick Van Exel when we were with the Legends, and he was one of the best relationship guys I've ever seen. I mean, and when I was with him, I didn't understand, like, he didn't want to be called coach. He wanted to be called Quick. Just call me Quick. And I'm like, being called coach, I was a young guy, but being called coach is one of the coolest things that's ever happened to me, right? Like the first time Billy Clyde Gillespie called me coach, I was like, okay, I made it. You know what I mean? But he didn't want to be called coach. He wanted to be called Quick. And the players were going to him when they had issues. And I was like, damn, that's crazy. You know, we had players that were older than me when I was in the G League. And I couldn't necessarily understand it at the time. And now that I look back, he humanized himself to the players, even though he was an NBA All-Star, even though he played with Kobe, even though he played with Shaq, he humanized himself with me. I mean, he's the Nick Van Exel, and I'm, hey, coach, you good? You need some breakfast? Like, he's asking me if I want breakfast or whatever, and I'm just like, it's crazy. But you look back, and you're like, man, I should have took that from him a long time ago. So, you know, just I think us being a little bit more open to allowing our players to make mistakes and not overreacting to them. And then also, you know, just finding that balance to between what's a mistake that we can live with, and then obviously, you know, what's a mistake that you know, is going to be a little too costly for our team. Because at the end of the day, you have to always protect your culture. And so I think that's the balance that we're working on. And it's not perfect, but that's what we're trying to get.
Yeah, that's something that we run into a lot at this level is, you know, where do you draw the line of what you're going to permit? What are you going to actually, by permitting something, you're promoting it. Mm-hmm. You know, you got to have your kids back. At the same time, you got to do what's best for the team.
Yeah.
And allowing them to fail compared to, you know, make a few mistakes. Like, we can live with a few mistakes, but complete failure sometimes, like, you get to that point and we all love our people so much. And sometimes we want it more for them than they actually want it for themselves. Yeah. And where you draw that line as a coach is extremely difficult. And, You know, it's a challenge, and we want to fix. But at times, like I would say the same thing is like, it takes time for us to learn the tools and the techniques to understand awareness, emotional intelligence, what's going on in their lives, asking the right questions, continuing to build that relationship, when a lot of stuff, when you take a step back, is extremely important, but we get caught up in that transactional. We get caught in that react versus respond. Like, oh, that bad call may cost us this, which we like think long-term and worst case scenarios and all these different things, when in reality, nothing is really that big of a deal. But at the time it is. And then we say things and do things either after games, in moments that, you know, we're not proud of because of pressures and things that we put on ourselves. So like having that awareness and understanding of allowing mistakes to happen, I think is something that's extremely mature and takes time. And it's not something like we can read and we can listen to all these podcasts and we can do all this stuff. At the end of the day, you got to practice doing it. Yeah. Or actually work. Like, we could be the smartest person. I can know everything, but if I can't apply it and do it, it doesn't matter. I think that you made some really good points there. Is there anything on your mind that you've done? You've said some really productive things. Like, is there any questions you'd like me to ask or anything that you want me to ask that I haven't yet?
No, I mean, I think, you know, one of the things that is important to me is that, you know, the president of our college gave me an opportunity when others wouldn't. And I think as young coaches, we have to understand that and be okay with that, right? You know, a lot of times people look at these big time coaches and or guys that get a job before them and they can't understand why and they question themselves. And I think the message that I have for those guys is sometimes it's just not the right spot for you. And that's okay, right? I mean, I applied for Paul Quinn College and I applied for JP2, a high school here in Dallas at the same time, and didn't get a call back from the high school. So, I mean, you put that in perspective, right? Nothing against them, nothing against me. It's just not the right fit, and that's okay. But I think when you are working the right way and like what you said, trying to work for the right reasons, and somebody sees something in you, and the stars align, so to speak, the worst thing that could happen is that you're not prepared for your moment, right? And I think when you are prepared for your moment, everything just happens organically. And I think that's one of the most important messages that I can give to young coaches is stay the course, stay focused, stay locked in. I mean, I'm still a young coach, man. I'm 35. I'm still learning stuff every day. I'm calling my mentors all the time and I'm trying to stay locked in. And I think that's one of the biggest things too, is find you some mentors. You know, I call guys, I ask questions and I ask them about, you know, hey, this kid did this, you know, what do you think? And should I, you know, I mean, I'm bouncing it off somebody, so I'm not just in my own head. But those are probably two of the biggest things. I mean, that's it really, just stay locked in, stay focused, keep grinding. You never know who's watching. We say that to players all the time, but as coaches, do the same thing. And then obviously find you some mentors. And it's okay to outgrow a mentor too. Find somebody who can get you ready for the next tier. But other than that, man, I'm thankful. I'm blessed. I'm thankful to be on this podcast. I'm thankful for our relationship. I'm thankful for Paul Quinn College and Drive Nation. And I'm just thankful for the opportunity to coach these kids and really pour into their lives the way my head coach and mentor poured into mine.
Yeah. Being grateful for the opportunity. And you talked about it a lot. Like, it's hard in this profession not to get bitter. Like, how did this guy do that? Or how did that guy get that? And it doesn't make sense. Like, a lot of things don't make sense. Well, welcome to the real world. Like, a lot of things aren't going to make sense. And like you said, like, I think it happens organically, and you're going to attract the people or the job or the whatever opportunity it is that happens for you next. Maybe it's a long-term situation there. You open up new doors for different people. Like, staying the course, staying with what you're doing, continue to get better. Don't get bitter. Don't get angry. You know, it's like with our players, like, just keep working. Like, you just got to keep, you know, we don't know when that time's going to come, but, you know, being a part of Rising Coaches community, being a part of having that, you know, support system, having that coaching tree, having those mentors. And you said, you know, something you said that's really, really powerful is like, don't be afraid to outgrow some of those mentors. Because sometimes, like, you know, you can go to a well so many times that eventually, like, you're going to hear the same things over and over again, and you need to hear it in a different way.
Absolutely.
And, you know, maybe it's a book, maybe it's a video, maybe it's a conversation, maybe it's a podcast. Like, you can hear things in different ways and see things in different ways by putting yourself out there, by putting yourself in those situations where you, just like your players, putting them in situations where you're uncomfortable, where you're facing adversity and challenging yourself every day to keep growing and getting better. And I'm very similar to you, where, like, I'm extremely grateful to be, was a head coach at 30 years old. Like, that doesn't happen anywhere, you know, regardless of where I live, or never would have thought in a million years I'd be living in Mississippi coaching junior college basketball. But I'm extremely grateful for the growth and what I've done here and what the opportunities that have presented itself, the staffs that I've helped develop and get guys to different places, the players that we've done. And, you know, like, you're in the same boat, and we're just going to keep doing it, keep impacting. And, you know, really appreciate your time and being on here today. I'm going to ask one more question on your way out. Okay. Answer how you wish, but what is the best thing in your life that can happen to you right now? What, give us, like, hey, what is the best thing that can happen in your life right now? Go ahead.
Oh, man, it's already happened. I mean, I just had a 7-month-old daughter. She has really helped kind of put things into perspective with my life. I think she's part of the reason why I've gotten so much better as a coach, is because she's made me a better human being, right? It's not about me anymore. It's about her, and my relationship with her is so unique and so different. I call her twin because she looks just like me, and my wife gets so pissed off in a joking way. But I think you see your players different now too, you know, and I think that trying to be transparent and trying to be open and trying to be loving with them is what I want to be with my daughter. My parents are happy and healthy. My brother is my assistant. I see him every day. My wife is a coach, so I can come home and talk to her. My circle is very small, but it's really, really good. I mean, I'm talking to Dr. Sorrell one day, one of the best college presidents in the country. And then I'm talking to Jermaine O'Neal another day, which is wild. And so for me, like, it's already happened. And so, you know, a kid from Houston, played at a small college, no kind of direction, nobody who's done it before to kind of guide me, to be in this situation. I mean, I'm living the dream every day, and that's the God honest truth. And so, you know, to be a dad as well and be a college head coach, there's not a lot of people that have that opportunity and get to be great at both. So, you know, I'm not tooting my own horn. I'm just saying I want to be great. I'm still trying to figure it out. But that's it. I mean, I'm happy. I'm good. I'm great. I'm blessed. In 2021, been up and down. We've had some different things happen. But 2022, you know, we're stepping into 2022, speaking positivity and blessings into our lives. And, you know, the opportunity to continue with this group at Paul Quinn College is special.
Well, enjoy the ride. I always tell people, like, hey, celebrate every win, because we've been on both ends of it. And, you know, losing as a head coach is extremely lonely. But like you said, it puts into perspective, you know, having that level of care that you understand from having a child, becoming a head coach, having your own program, patience. You know, that's one thing. And you got to keep it fun too. Keep it fun and entertaining. And, you know, any adversity that you face, like, it makes it seem like it's not as big of a deal when you get to go home, whether it's something they do or something that happens at work. Like, you get that separation, and it helps a lot. But really appreciate your time. Really good answers, really powerful stuff. Keep it going, man. Keep it going. Enjoy the ride. Like I said, celebrate every single one of those wins. Enjoy the time with your group. And, you know, you're never stopping. You're a head coach for two programs year round. So, you know, keep plugging away at it. And I know you're going to do a great job.
I appreciate you, Coach. God bless you guys the rest of the season, and go Tigers.
Be safe.